This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hey, look at things happening with Roseburg Public Schools. Superintendent Jared Corden, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
I know it's been the second of a couple of really odd years, and things that you probably never thought you'd be dealing with continue, though they are changing, and we've got a lot of things to get through today. Let's talk about, at the front end here, the announcement of the change in status from the state in terms of full contact winter sports that came out yesterday.
Yeah, it's another shift for us. Yesterday, we were advised that what they call season four is a go. No surprise, it's kind of been par for the course here. We're still awaiting details on what that looks like. So what that means for our kiddos is basketball, swimming, wrestling will be a go. That season begins, it'll overlap with season three, May 10th, and it'll actually run through June 27th this year.
So that's actually after the school year is over.
Correct, about 2 weeks into 2 weeks past the end of the school year.
Wow, and so that probably has some complexities for some of the students who may be in multiple sports.
Yeah, agreed. It does. I don't think I was a little surprised, but I've learned to be a little surprised this year with decisions. It's actually, you know, it does make it for the seniors an interesting thing. Graduation's June 5th for them. So I think we're seeing this across the state. Season four, many of us are wondering what participation might look like in that group.
Yeah, and we've already seen that with some of the other sports where, given the shorter seasons and limited potential and less travel and all that, that some students have just opted to not.
They have. I think what kiddos continue to tell us as we're out visiting with them is they really appreciate the opportunity to get back to that sense of normal. So even in an abbreviated season, it's been a win for our kids to get back out on the field or the court. But it does look different this year, as many things have.
Now, as well, you mentioned before we went on something I wasn't aware of regarding middle schools.
Right. We are going to be moving to a four-day week with our middle schools. We're going to start May 3rd at Joliet and Fremont, both middle schools welcoming our sixth graders back. And then the following week, our seventh and eighth graders back. We're excited about that. Parents will still have the option to remain remote if they're more comfortable with that. And or if they've been remote, to now start in person 4 days a week.
So talk about why 4 days a week versus five.
Right. So there's a variety of reasons for that. We have the Wednesday for us has been some professional development that we're doing this year or there. That's part of our agreement with our staff, and has been needed this year and necessary this year. Some of the decisions we're making are really to help, although there have been shifts, is to provide some consistency for families and kiddos. This is another shift, and I acknowledge this shift is a positive thing for many. And for some, it's another shift. And so keeping with that, 4 day a week. Kids have been on a 4 day a week schedule at the middle schools, participating in classes, either remotely or in person and or. So there's not the shift there is we're getting back to those kiddos now being in person those 4 days a week.
So Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
Correct.
But just for the middle school, not the high school.
That's correct.
So talk about why that is.
Well, there's a variety of reasons as we looked at the high school, and it has always been our intent to get our kids back, but we want to be thoughtful about how we do this. I can mention a couple things. There's a variety of reasons on that. You know, one of the shifts back to 4 days a week, and we've seen schools moving to a variety of models with what people are calling full time. Some people have kids 5 days a week for 3 hours a day. So there's a variety of models there. One thing that we need to be thoughtful about is, as we think about COVID cases in the school, when we move to now a 3 feet distance, which is the new guidance over spring break, that's going to have a little bit of a, it'll have a potential impact when if there is a positive COVID case. We've been able to be, quite frankly, a little bit lucky with some of the hybrid models, giving us that 48 hours in between. So I'm curious as to, you know, what this will look like if we see cases happen. What it could lead to are grade levels, could be a class, could be a school that needs to quarantine for 10 days. The high school also has a couple of interesting complications. The guidance still directs we have to have 6 feet of distance at lunch. And so we actually have more room in a cafeteria at some of the middle schools than we do at the high school. So we can fit 150 kids in that student center. We actually looked really hard at how to provide, you know, kind of those party wedding type tents. We did find one for $2,800 through the end of the year that could fit 18 kids. But also we have a significant amount of our students that are working and have adjusted to the schedule on those off days. And as we look at the cost benefit of needing to get kids back, but that shift in that model really wasn't possible to do with the high school.
Now, is it possible to do any meals, let kids eat outdoors, or is that harder to keep track of them?
Yeah, we certainly can. The guidance still indicates, though, that kids need to be 6 feet. And a lot of that gets back to contact tracing, state epidemiologists. There's been quite a bit of debate about this over this year, but the guidance is still 6 feet at lunch.
And so if you're eating lunch at a table, you're there. If you go outside to eat, probably kids would tend to wander a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think our kids have done a great job with this, but it has created some logistical challenges when you're looking at, you know, for the most part, kids do a great job with this, but kids are social creatures. They need to be together. They want to be together, and that guidance is pretty prescriptive in terms of what lunches look like.
Yeah, I heard a comment yesterday from someone who's got a grandchild in California who is, I believe, a first grader. And today, I think it was going to be the first day the entire school year they'd actually met anyone, including the teacher, in their class.
Yeah, we've heard story after story with that across the country this year. A lot of students are just getting back. We have a lot of staff across the country. We're lucky to have had our staff have been at school all year, but there are staff also that have seen their building for the first time, you know, across the state. So. I think people are adjusting well.
So let's look ahead a bit. Registration for the upcoming school year.
Right, our registration actually officially opened up Friday. We've had a great response to that. I think we had about 500 families register the first day. So parents can visit the website. There's a link on the website off to the right about registration. Parents, it is online, and parents will notice some exciting things about registration, including some of our virtual options we'll see this year.
And what do they need to do in terms of, is there a deadline for getting registered, et cetera?
Well, we always think the earlier the better. There's not really a deadline. Parents, they can log on to their ParentView account, and they can make sure all that information is up to date. If there's any issues with that, they can always call the school, and school will help them out with that.
So for the Roseburg Virtual School next year, how will that be a different experience than for students who've been virtual this year?
Yeah, it's going to be totally different than what we have this year, and it's really exciting. I'm excited about this opportunity. We've had a little more time to design what we want. There's really going to be a sense of belonging, a sense of connection. Kids will be able to have access to our licensed teachers, which will be great, but also a connection to this school and that school community still. So what that'll look like this year is K-5. We have a new school. It's the Roseburg Virtual School. Those teachers, we actually have those teachers hired for next year. It's just a dynamite group of teachers that'll be working with our kids. They'll be housed at Rose School. And kids will still that choose that option will still have a connection to a teacher. They'll still have an opportunity to do some small group work, have that tutoring component, that connection that's been important. At the high school level, kiddos will actually register through our middle schools or the high school, and the virtual option is part of what under the umbrella of each of those schools. But there'll be a connection still with athletics, with activities, with a teacher that's there to make sure that kids still feel, even in that kind of asynchronous, independent work they'll be doing, still a connection to the building.
So when do parents have to decide, okay, I want my kids in person or I want them virtual? And once they make a decision, can they change it?
They can. What we've done this year, and it's worked pretty well, is we really are looking at that semester as that time in which parents can make those decisions or kids can make those decisions. So parents can choose that option in the registration process. They can choose that they're interested in either of those, and they'll commit to that at least for the semester. We anticipate most kids will probably stick with that for the year.
All right, going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools to interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1. Tomorrow we'll talk about the public employees retirement system and where it might be headed in the future. Alan Alley, former candidate for governor and state treasurer. We've talked to him a number of times over the years. He'll join us tomorrow following a recent online program he had on that topic as well. He does some media in the Portland area still, so that conversation tomorrow. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools talking about things coming up now and looking ahead to next year as well. When next year does hit for in-person, what are you expecting at this point without any other shifts? Which probably will happen.
Right. You know, my crystal ball has been stuck in the dishwasher a couple times this year. I haven't been able to look too far ahead. Yeah, I really feel there's going to be an opportunity to have an expectation, and the guidance, I'm hoping, will allow us to have a start of the year that's full-time. And 5 days a week from pre-K to grade 12, that is what my hope is. It was my expectation is. It appears the trajectories are allowing us to do that, and even some of the state guidance is indicating that would be the case. Of course, looking at places like Michigan and across Europe, I get a little, there's just no crystal ball in this. We're not exactly sure what'll happen, but we're planning for multiple scenarios, but our plan we're moving forward on in terms of forecasting and is a 7-period day, like at the high school, for example. It is our traditional model that'll look a little different with some other options, but full-time experience for kids.
And obviously, one of the things right now the public health people are looking at is not so much the number of folks vaccinated, that we can all see happening, but it's also the variants in some places and how they interact, you know, whether you maintain the ability to stay, free of that if you're dealing with that. So that kind of factors in as well. And just like anything else in this pandemic, it seems to keep shifting as we go.
Yeah, it'll shift. I mean, there was some guidance that I've tried to stay up on, but you know, it's hard to stay up on kind of the daily shifts. There's, you know, some guidance, for example, that makes it a little more difficult for counties to be an extreme. There are three counties in the state that are could be an extreme given the previous numbers, but now there's a layer of state hospitalization rates, for example. So I anticipate there may be some additional layers that allow us to be back full time. But again, I've given a lot of recommendations, but don't have a seat at that table in terms of the governor's office.
So what's been the role of the school board in all of this? I mean, a very untypical time for them as well.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, their role, you know, by policy is really around the governance issues and policy issues. But the board has really provided some valuable input and guidance this school year. I'll give you an example. The board took the lead in our reopening plan as a district, and that was really kind of a governance type issue. So, you know, we're working with the board closely. I do, and they've provided some important guidance this year.
And I mean, a busy time for everybody to go through this process. What about graduation this year for RHS?
Yeah, we are planning for an in-person graduation. And those plans are well underway. We'll have the parade again this year. We're excited to have more people come join us for the parade. That was a real success last year. And have, of course, plan A, B, and C, but our expectation is an in-person graduation this year.
You know, last year, the parade, and maybe it was just the first time people had actually laid eyes on students they were aware of in the community in months, and allowed people to stay distant, stay with their families or coworkers or whatever. And I remember that day as I kind of followed things around and observed it to report on, but also just watching kids I knew. Somebody said, you know, even if everything else goes back to normal, we ought to still do this.
Yeah, I agree. I actually had a opportunity to drive with my daughter, who was a senior last year, and got to see that parade from inside the car. And thought, wow, this is something that was really neat for our community to see. You know, this investment in our kids is something we should all be excited about as they move on. And it was neat to see school staff and community and neat to see people cheering our kids on. It should be more of a community celebration. I think that's a tradition that will remain intact for quite a while.
Well, and even in normal times, if we recall what those might be, you can't get everybody in the field complex there, the football field. There's usually, attachments of a certain number of people per graduate or whatever. It's a big school. It's a good-sized community. So this allows other people to be part of this as well.
Yeah, it does. And we're going to again have it, we'll have it broadcast to try to, provide the access for people who can't make it. But I do think it's an important thing as a community to pull together to say, there's a lot of resources and time and planning and love that goes into this process of getting that student ready to walk across the aisle and get that diploma. And I've often said, sometimes in this community, we export our most important resources. We export it out. It's our kids. And we need to make sure they feel a connection to be in this community so that either staying here or coming back to be here and raise a family here is something they feel is important for them.
And for looking towards the end of the school year as well, as you kind of look at kids that have made it through this year, what are you seeing in terms of, mental health issues and things like that?
Well, it's been a concern all year, but I will say this. I am super proud of our kiddos. I'm very interested to see how their resilience and their grit helps them out. And I think our kids are going to be prepared in different ways than kids in the past. They've had to adjust. They've had to learn how to be sometimes more independent learners. And that expectation in terms of, employment and future educational opportunities will be a benefit for those kiddos. We've been able to make a lot of contact with kids that kind of were off the grid. We did a lot of home visits and knocked on a lot of doors and visited with parents. And those kids, by and large, are back. And I think there's this narrative that everybody struggled in this pandemic. But Kyle, the truth is a lot of our kids and families have really found this, this situation to do things more independently to be a benefit for them. And I think staff have too. It's not our traditional way to do things, but we said going into this thing, we're going to take the positive road and we'll make, we're going to make the best out of this situation. And I'm proud our kids have really made the best out of this as well.
Are there some extra opportunities available this summer for kids, especially ones who feel like, or their parents feel like they've gotten a little too far behind?
Yeah, there are, and I really appreciate the state appropriated about $250 million for summer opportunities to really address what they're calling unfinished learning. And I like that better than learning loss. So we are working right now on what those opportunities will be. They're going to be enrichment-based. They'll also be academic-based. And I expect to have a wide range of opportunities for families that are at no cost for them, transportation provided, to really address that unfinished learning.
So would that be throughout the summer, or would that be a block of 4 weeks here in the middle, or how would it do?
Yeah, the guidance indicates it needs to be, in that at least that 5 to 6 week range. So we'll look at that for sure. And we've got some interest surveys out to staff, but this could be something that's really exciting because although kids will need academics, they also need those other connections. They need the connections to do things that provide a spark for them. And what we know about summer is if you can get that spark, and even in the year, if you can get that spark about something that interests them, it helps across so many fields, academically, socially, pro-socially.
So how long will it be until you think you've got everything worked out on what will be available this summer?
Well, the application's not out, but it's a non-competitive grant, so there will be funds available. We are applying for those as soon as the application's out. And we hope within the next week or two, we've got another meeting with leaders on Friday, another week or two, families will start seeing what those options are, getting signed up.
And just about out of time, I would be remiss, though, if I didn't ask you about an upcoming school board decision on the high school mascot.
Yeah, we had a work session last board meeting. It was by design. There was not going to be a vote taken on that. There was some really, I thought, thoughtful discussion about the mascot. It's been a topic of real interest. And I anticipate, at probably the upcoming board meeting, that there'll be a vote that takes place on that.
All right, Superintendent Jared Corden from Roseburg Public Schools, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
My pleasure, thank you.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.